Morning. It's exciting to be able to share in God's Word this morning. It's exciting to, being the Origin or playing for Australia and getting called off the bench, you know. So I got up this morning and I whipped on my best Tarakesh t-shirt like Ange and Nathan do, and here I am. So, but we better pray that God helps us because, yeah, it's me, so we're unlucky. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you encourage us this morning from it. Just really, speak through me and my weakness, Lord, and open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Alrighty. So when I was 25, my wife Michelle and I decided that it'd be a great idea on Australia Day to enter into a surfboard paddle race on Sydney Harbour. We thought it was a good idea. How often do you get to jump in the harbour and paddle around on your surfboard out past Fort Denison, around under the Harbour Bridge? And so it was 3.5 kilometres. So in the weeks leading up to this race, I was talking it up to my wife, as you do, telling her a bit of a male pride, how much I was going to beat her by. I was paying her out, asking her, you know, do you really think you can make 3.5 kilometres? Yeah, I was pretty fit at the time. I thought I was working at Virgin Blue and thought, you know, I'd been lifting 1,000 suitcases. I got this in the bag. It's all good. So we get down there on the day. We get our rashies. We get our timers on our ankle. And we jump in the water next to the Harbour Bridge. And, you know, with 1,000 other people on surfboards, it was a pretty impressive sight. And the gun goes off and we paddle. And I reckon as we headed out to Fort Denison for about the first 500 metres, I was next to my wife, and then after that, I didn't see her again. She absolutely smashed me by like 10 minutes. During that race, apparently my body is not meant to paddle a surfboard for 3.5 kilometres. My neck ached, my arms ached, I could barely lift my arms over. So many times during that race, I really wanted to call one of those support boats over and say, pick me up, but the fact that I don't think there's anything more motivating than the wife beating the pants off you to keep you going. So knowing that she had already finished, there was no way I was not at least finishing. So in 2 John, John is really encouraging the church to keep walking in the truth, something that is not easy and not without pain. When paddling the board, my pride and the fact that Michelle was beating the pants off me motivated me that day to the end. And what John is saying here in this book is that we need to use Jesus as our motivator. And he needs to what keeps us going to the end, until we are at the end of the race when we're going to spend eternity with him. At the end of that race, I was so sore and I had given absolutely everything I had, so much that when I got changed out of my wet board shorts, I couldn't even pull my own shorts up. That's how much I had nothing left. And this is what I want to be able to strive in my Christian walk, to say to Jesus when he takes me home that I have absolutely nothing left. And we should all strive to live our lives in a way that means that we have nothing left to give to Jesus. So let's spend some time in 2 John and let it encourage us to walk in the truth with Jesus. So in verses 1 to 3 it says, "To the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and we will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace for God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love." John opens his letter with a description of himself, the elder, showing the church who the letter's from. We then see the recipients of the letter, to the lady chosen by God and to her children. There is a bit of debate about whether John is actually writing to a lady, but it's more commonly thought that he's writing the lady being the church and the children being the people in the church. So in the opening message, John also mentions the word the truth 4 times. So what is the truth that he's referring to? It's the message of Jesus. It's the gospel, the truth that binds us and them all together. The truth that Jesus was God's only Son and that he came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins, that we will spend eternity with him. And this is the truth that John is speaking about. And this is what he wants us to be walking in and living for. And then in verse 4 it goes on, it says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children in the truth, just as the Father commands. John talks about us walking in our faith and that we need to keep on walking in the truth. And this is the challenge for us, to keep walking in the truth, no matter what the world throws at us. Just like at my story at the start on that day, that I was going to keep paddling no matter what. This is what John wants us to do. He wants us to keep walking, keep lifting our legs, keep encouraging us. And this sounds easier than it is. As we walk along in our faith, the world throws many things at us to push us off the narrow path. We live in quite a rich country, and many of us are well off in the world standards. And we are able to get most things we want by ourselves and to be able to seek our happiness in this. So where does Jesus fit in that, where there is things that we can't not get for ourselves? Where does Jesus fit in your daily life? And are we easily sucked in by the world? It takes all our effort not to get sucked in by the world and stay in the truth. John was very excited to find many people still walking the truth. It must have been a great feeling for John to see many people at this church holding strong to Jesus. Many years ago, I worked down in Kiama Baptist Church for a year as the youth pastor down there, and I spent that year investing into this one guy in year 10. I'd hang out with him, I'd pray with him, I'd challenge him. And after that year, I left. And just a few years ago, someone came up and told me that they'd heard that young man give his testimony at a beach mission. And just how that year that I had spent with him was the year that God really opened his eyes to the great things that he had done for him. And it was really encouraging to me to hear this guy still walking the truth. And this must have been what John had been feeling. And then in verses 5 to 6, he then goes on to encourage us not only to walk in the truth, but into love, with love and obedience as well. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, this command is that you walk in love. John continues to encourage us to walk in truth, love, and obedience in these verses. Walking is a doing word. John is not encouraging us to sit in the truth. He's telling us to keep walking in it. So if we are in the truth, we should be loving and being obedient. We are to walk in all three together. We cannot have one without the other. How can we say to ourselves that we are walking in the truth if we are not loving and living obedient lives? We cannot walk in love without truth. We cannot walk in obedience without truth. The faith and love we have are signs of our new birth and our new life that we have with Jesus. Love is expressed in obedience. If we love Christ, we shall show it by keeping his commands. So how are we going in this? How often do we read our Bibles or hear a sermon preached that encourages us to make change, but yet we fail to make it? Remember, John is saying that we must walk in this truth, not just sit in it. This year, my youth team, we sat down at the start of the year and we set ourselves visions and goals of things that we would like to be doing and how would we like to be serving the youth this year. At the end of term one, we sat down and we looked back at these things that we had set us at the start, and we realised that we weren't doing the things that we had set ourselves. And this was hard for us to look at ourselves and see that we were not meeting the things that we had committed to doing. So as we reflected and spent time in prayer, God really helped us again to commit ourselves to this ministry, the truth that leads us to an uncontrollable passion, which is unselfish and burns in our hearts to serve the youth and to live for him. So is it a time in your life where you need to spend time reflecting on how you are walking with Jesus? Are you walking in love and obedience, or do you find yourself just sitting right now? I think two times in my life I've been really challenged about whether I've been just sitting in the truth. One was after a mission trip I came back from when I was 19, and they asked me to get up and share, and I stood up here at the front and I shared about what Jesus had been doing in my life over that trip. And I said, one of the things I said was, that I was just so used to just sitting in our green comfy pews, and fancy enough, they're still green and they're still quite comfy. And I was really challenged that I needed to do more than just sit here in these pews. And then another time was just this week. My wife, Michelle, works for Pioneers, the mission organisation, and she shared a video with me about the Peace Child. And it's about this couple that was in Indonesia, and they went, I think it was early in the 50s, and they went with their seven-month-old baby into this village where they were in Indonesia, and they were cannibals, and they were fighting each other. All the villagers were fighting each other, and they went in. And then after about a year, they had to say to the village, if you guys don't stop fighting, we're going to have to leave. And so what they did, the villagers swapped baby boys, and they called this the Peace Child. And this was the open door for those missionaries to share about the ultimate Peace Child in Jesus. And the video shows that these guys going back to their village after 50 years or whatever it was, and just being able to see the effect that Jesus had. And this really did challenge me to really think again, am I just sitting in the truth? Am I still willing to say to Jesus that I'm willing to do anything and go anywhere you call me? It's a challenge each day for us to get up and walk in the truth every day. We need to get up and choose it. This is not easy, and we have the eternal goal that we're going to live in heaven with our Father. So take courage that it is hard for all of us, but I encourage you to get up every day and lift those legs and walk in the truth. John then goes on to talk about false teachers in verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus as Christ as coming in flesh have gone out into this world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So John now moves on to tell us to be careful about whom we are listening to. Don't let any guy up here in a Terracash t-shirt to preach to you. Be aware that there are many deceivers out there trying to lead you astray. He names them here as deceivers and Antichrist. John also talks about deceivers and Antichrist in 1 John. When John is talking about the Antichrist here, he's talking about people who do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was sent as our Saviour. In our world, there are many people out there trying to lead us astray with teachings that claim that Jesus is not the Christ. We need to be aware, and we need to be on guard and make sure everything we are listening to, what we're downloading, points to Jesus. And then in verse 8 to 9, he says, "Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded." We need to be actively aware and constantly evaluating our lives so that we do not fade away. Do not let your life become so busy that your walk with Christ slips away. We have a goal, that is that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. And that is that we need to be checking ourselves and ensuring that our life is one that points with that eternal perspective. We need to make sure that we are including God in all we do, not just when things are going wrong. We should be seeking God, not just when we don't have that money to pay that bill or we're having trouble with our friends, but in the good times as well. We get content with our own money, our own houses, our own friends, and we forget about God. But it's in these times that we too need to be praising God. We should be seeking his will in all aspects of our lives at all times. Not only should we be looking out for ourselves, but we should be looking out for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. We should be loving, caring, and praying for each other. We should be keeping each other accountable that we are walking in the truth. If you are in my youth team, one of the things about being in my youth team is that I make them all have a mentor. This is because walking the truth is not always easy. And John is trying to encourage and guide this church in this letter. And we often need someone to help us in this. I want someone besides me investing, guiding, caring, praying for each individual of my youth leaders as they live to serve the youth and each other. So I want to encourage you guys that don't have a mentor or don't have someone that you catch up with to keep accountable to help you in your walk. You're never too old or too young to need help. It's hard every day to get up and choose to walk with Jesus. We are swamped by ads, newspaper articles, friends, family, telling us to live for ourselves. And sometimes we just need that person to question our motives, remind us that we have chosen Jesus, and that we will live a life that reflects Jesus. So be caring for each other, be praying for each other. If someone is sharing with you, don't just get up and walk away. Say those hard words of, "Can I pray for you?" and sit there and pray. We want to see our brothers and sisters stay strong in their walk. This is important to me. It's very much a passion of mine to see my youth and my youth leaders that I work with stay strong in their walk, so that one day that I will see them in heaven. It's heartbreaking to watch our friends and our families that once walked in the truth slip away. So we need to be always making sure that we are doing all that we can for those around us. And then in verse 9, he goes on to say, "Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." John is warning us not to run ahead. Don't think that you know it all and that you do not need to include Jesus in your life anymore. We need to be careful that we are not leaving God and his word behind, making sure our ministries, our lives, point to Jesus in all that we do. John encourages us to walk with Jesus, to not run, but to listen and walk and live your life with him. And then John gives us a second warning in verse 10 and 11. "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work." So in these verses, John is warning the church again about those not teaching the gospel. He's not talking about a person physically coming into your home. He's talking about official visitors and teachers that come into the church that don't bring the message of the gospel. So if such visitors come to the church, we are not to welcome them. Again, we need to be always on guard whom we are allowing to teach, whether that's in church, a visitor to your home groups, someone in our youth ministry, or someone teaching our kids. We need to be on guard. And then John's final words, in verses 12 to 13. "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk to you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, whom is chosen by God, send their greeting." I like the way that John finishes here. He has much more to say, but he wants to come and speak to them face to face. We don't know whether he just had much more to say and he ran out of ink, or his internet dropped out, but where he has much more to say and he wants to come face to face. I like it because so often we get things and we read them and we take them out of context, don't we? We get an email, an SMS, a Facebook message from a friend, and we read it in one tone or in one way, and it was meant in a different tone or in a different way. As my youth and youth leaders know, I have dyslexia, so my emailing skills and SMS skills are really not the best. They're always paying me out for like not putting full stops or grammar or spelling a word wrong. This year in our kick flyer, I put, instead of bringing pants, I put paints, and you know, like, I'm very used to it. I think Ange has a heart attack every time he has to read one of my sermons about how much he has to fix the grammar. So I'm very much with John here. I'm always keener to share face to face. I may not be able to email, but I love to sit and share and invest and talk. I'm always much happier to be talking than writing. John is really encouraging us today to be walking in the truth, to keep on going like my story at the start, to just keep putting one leg after the other. My motivation was that my wife was beating the pants off me, and I want your motivation to be that Jesus has died on the cross for us and that he has made the ultimate sacrifice. So I want you to think about your own walk. John is calling us to keep going. Keep on walking in that truth that we may live in eternity with him, to walk in love and obedience to him. And in doing that, we may love and support each other each day. So to finish, I was looking up some stats about our youth, and the big stat in Australia right now is that 80% of our youth, by the time they reach second year in uni, that's 2 years out of high school, that 80% will walk away from their faith. 80%. That's way too many. My prayer for our youth is that we are a youth here that breaks that stat, and that it might be 80% of them still here walking in the truth. And that goes for the rest of us. How many of us have friends that used to sit here in our green comfy pews that are no longer here? How many do we know that people were on fire for Christ but are no longer here? We need to be loving and caring and hanging on to that truth. That we need to take the words of John here to heart. That we need to be aware that walking with Jesus is hard, but we do have that eternal goal. So if you are struggling in your walk right now, don't just walk out. Ask someone to sit, pray, share with you. Love each other in Christ. Don't let your walk with Christ just fade away. Let's be a church that keeps on walking and be different from this, what this world tells us to be. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these encouraging words, Lord. We pray that you give us the strength to walk closely with you every day, Lord, whether that's in great times or bad times, Lord. Encourage us now, Lord, to share with each other, to sit and pray with each other. Encourage us in the truth that you have given us, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for this time, Lord, and we pray that you impact our lives and that we then may go and impact others for you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.